Evening to the book of Psalm. I actually have two different places I'm going to have you turn this evening, and this is a message that again the Lord had been working on my heart as I knew I was going to be entering into the new year, and then with the theme that we were going to have for this year. And so I wanted you to consider a verse or two here in Psalm 143, and then I'm going to challenge you a little bit. I want you to find the book of Habakkuk, and you raise your hand when you found it. The book of Habakkuk, so work real hard to get that. Maybe we could have had a sword drill, and we got a hand up already. Somebody already found Habakkuk, good. So Psalm 143, and then we want you to find Habakkuk, if you would. And find chapter number 3. We're going to get to that in just a moment. And you're going to recognize or notice this evening that the message I'm going to preach really will go hand in hand with the message that we preached this morning to introduce our theme for this year, and just some things that the Lord has put on my heart as I felt that He would have our church to have this thought of do it again, Lord, as a theme this year. And we're going to again try to use Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6 as a theme verse as well, that as He started the good work in us, that He'll continue to do it. And so we're going to, in the month of January, I kind of wanted to give you an idea of the way that the Lord is working on my heart. In the month of January, I wanted to use the month of January in 2022 for the purpose. Now the Lord may steer me in a different direction at a service or two in the month of January. But I kind of feel like the Lord would have me to use the month of January as a way of kind of introducing this theme and kind of just preaching through some messages that He has put on my heart as I was considering this theme at the end of the year of 2021. The last several months, the Lord's kind of put some thoughts on my heart and mind with this theme in mind. And so I kind of wanted to introduce the theme in the month of January. And then when we turn to the month of February, I want us to look into the Word of God. And I want our thoughts and our messages to be geared towards our family, towards families. And so in the month of February, I feel as if the Lord is steering me in the direction of preaching about doing it again when it comes to our families. What the Lord is able to do in our families, and that He would do it again. And so just wanted to preach some messages to challenge us with our families and our marriage relationships, perhaps, and our relationships with our children and inside our families and inside of our homes. And then in the month of March, and I considered the month of February because we think about Valentine's Day and how special that day is that lands in the month of February, and how we think of our marriages and our families and the love that we have one towards another. And then in the month of March, I feel as if the Lord is putting upon my heart the thought of do it again, Lord, with the thought of our finances, our money, the things that God has blessed us with. Now, don't make it so you say, well, I don't know if I'll be coming in the month of March then, if that's what we're going to be talking about. But just some things that the Lord has laid on my heart and some thoughts about our finances, just taking the means that God has given to us to use them for His honor and His glory. And then in the month of April, and we're going to be able to have something very special in the month of April here in the year of 2022. And in the month of April, we're going to have our missions conference. And excited about our missions conference. It's going to be in the month of April, and it'll land right there in that month. And so I wanted to talk and use that month or the month of April to talk about the Lord's work again on the fields. Hey, look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And I'm thinking about our missionaries that will be here in our missions conference, and that the Lord would be able to use us to be able to not only reach the foreign fields, but to reach the field that He has put us here to reach as well in our local area. Isn't it exciting that we as a church can support missionaries in our own country, but we can also be able to reach around the world as well, the fields that are white unto harvest? And so I wanted to talk about the Lord's work again on the fields. And so that kind of gives you an idea of the way the Lord's directing me in the first several months of the year of 2022. I hope you'll be faithful to the services. I hope you'll be able to hear the messages that God will put on my heart. And again, it may be that as weeks come, that God would steer my heart in another direction. But I feel like that's the way he'd have me to start this year. And just looking forward to the Lord using these messages to challenge our hearts. I do want to say this before I begin preaching tonight, that right at the end of the service tonight, I talked about this this morning, I have a few special things that I'd like to talk to you about right at the end of the service. And so I'm going to try to be as brief as I can with the message so that we don't go too long tonight, but I wanted us to just be able to stay a few minutes afterwards, just a few special things that I wanted to share with you at the end of our service this evening, at the end of our preaching time. So look with me in your Bible, if you would, at Psalm 143, and this is a psalm that David writes. And we're going to start with this here, a couple special verses here in Psalm 143. And then we're going to turn to Habakkuk chapter number 3 here in just a moment. And again, the passages of Scripture tonight and the message tonight will deal with the thought that we introduced you to this morning, do it again, Lord. Notice there are some special requests that David gives to God in Psalm 143. And it starts in verse number 7 and it goes down to verse number 11. David gives some special requests to God. Notice what he says in verse number 7. I want you to notice the first two words in verse number 7 all the way down through verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 7, he says, "Hear me speedily." Notice the first two words. David gives that request to the Lord. He says, "Hear me." Notice the rest of the verse. He says, "Speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." David acknowledges the fact that he needs to turn to the Lord and he needs God to hear him, God to be able to hear his voice as he cries to his God. But then notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. Would you look at the very first two verses, or very first two words of the verse? He says, "Cause me." Now, when you read through verse number 8, you'll notice that David says these two words two times in this verse. The first part of this verse, he says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Notice this, he says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." Now to me, verse number 7 and verse number 8 are very unique. Because David says to God, "God, I want you to hear me." And then did you notice in verse number 8, he says, "God, I want to hear you. God, I want to hear you." Hey, that's fellowship with God, isn't it? It's a two-way communication, isn't it? We pray and we get to talk to God and he hears us. And then we read his word and he gets to speak to us and we get to hear him. David says, "God, if you would hear me, and then if you would cause me to be able to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." And then notice the second part of the verse. "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." So cause me to hear, and then cause me to know, he says. And then look at verse number 9. The first two words of the verse. "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." So David says in verse number 9, "Deliver me from the enemies that I have." And you know, as we studied through the life of David, there were many enemies that David faced. Even King Saul, who was seeking to kill David and take his life from him. So David says, "Deliver me from mine enemies." And then look at verse number 10, the first two words. He says, "Teach me to do thy will." Oh, what a challenge for us. Now, this is not the message we're preaching tonight. It's kind of leading up to the verse. But what a challenge for us tonight to say to the Lord, "Teach me to do thy will." What is God's will for your life? What is it that he would have for you to do? Would you just say to him, "God, teach me to do your will. Help me to know what it is to be able to get in that path that's your will for my life and to stay in it and do it to the best of my ability." Our duty when it comes to the will of God is to find out what God's will is for us and to do it to the best of our ability. David says, teach me to do thy will, O Lord. And then I wanted to get to verse number 11, because in these series of requests that David gives to the Lord, he says in verse number 11, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. David uses those two words. He says, quicken me, to start verse number 11. The idea of make me alive or restore to life what needs to be made alive. Now for us, if we were to say this to the Lord, if we were to tell the Lord, quicken me, it would be our request to the Lord for a spiritual reviving. As a matter of fact, we think of the word quicken when it's found in the New Testament of our Bible. You think of that verse that's found in the book of Ephesians. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And in the New Testament of our Bible, that word quicken, we understand it has the idea of making alive. When we read that word quicken me here in the Psalm 143 that David writes, it's the idea of a spiritual reviving. As a matter of fact, there are a couple other words we could use for this. God, just renew me. Or perhaps to use the word restore, or the word that we use many times, revive me, Lord. Give me, restore unto me that life. Maybe that life perhaps that I once had spiritually, and it kind of seems like maybe it's fizzled away a little bit. That's what David says to the Lord. He says, quicken me. For us, just the challenge of being spiritually revived, to be renewed and restored and have that spiritual revival in our hearts. And that leads us to the book of Habakkuk. Would you look at Habakkuk chapter number 3? And I want us to notice some truths here in Habakkuk chapter 3. And we'll start in verse number 1. And we want to just read down to verse number 2. So Habakkuk chapter 3, if you would look at verse number 1, and then I want us to look down to verse number 2 in the book of Habakkuk. Again, chapter number 3. Verse number 1 says this, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. So this is a prayer that Habakkuk gives. He's the prophet of God here in this a small, minor prophet that we have here in the Old Testament of our Bible. And notice what the very beginning of verse number 2 says. He says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. And notice the next three words, and was afraid. So Lord, I've heard your speech and I was afraid. Habakkuk is speaking here of the Babylonian invasion that was approaching. Jerusalem was about to be led away into captivity. They're about to face judgment as a result of their sin. They had sinned and failed the Lord, and they're to face the judgment of the Lord. And the prophet that God sends understands the work of the Lord and what the Lord is doing. And so he says, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. I want you to notice as we go on in verse number 2 here of some challenges for us in our life as we hear the words of Habakkuk the prophet here. I want us to notice the next few words there in verse number 2. He says this, O Lord, notice the next three words, revive thy work. Follow along with me if you would. It says, in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known, in wrath, remember mercy. There's a couple thoughts I want to give you tonight mainly from verse number 2 in Habakkuk chapter number 3. The first thought that I wanted to give you this evening was this, a reviving of God's work, number one, I want you to understand this, is connected to prayer. A reviving of God's work is connected to prayer. The thing that I would like to establish in your hearts this year is if we truly want to see God do again in our lives a great work, it's going to be connected to prayer. May it begin with prayer. Here's Habakkuk, the Bible says, praying and talking to the Lord. So number one, the first truth that I wanted us to get and notice from verse number 1 and verse number 2 from Habakkuk chapter number 3 is that a reviving of God's work is going to begin and going to be connected with prayer. But then number 2, would you notice some key words that we see here in verse number 2? Notice the first two words that Habakkuk begins verse number 2 with. He says, O Lord. And then as we go on in the verse, he says, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. And then notice the next two words, O Lord. And then he says, revive thy work. The second truth that I want us to notice from Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2 is that the Lord is the only source from which a reviving work flows. The Lord is the only source from which a reviving work flows. Or we could say it this way, from which a reviving work is going to come from. It's going to be the Lord that is at the source of a revival. So this year, if God is to do again in your life a great and a mighty spiritual work, guess who will be the source of that work? It will be the Lord, and it will be Him alone. It's not something that we muster up on our own. A lot of times, as a matter of fact, we even say that about revival. Revival is not something we're just going to stir up on our own. It's going to be the Lord that is the source of revival. So number one, it's connected to prayer. And then remember, number two, that the Lord is the one who is the source of this reviving work. He's the one that allows this work to flow, or He's the one that this work is going to come from. Would you turn with me? Keep your place there in Habakkuk chapter number 3. But would you turn back to the psalm for just a moment? I want you to look at Psalm 62, and I want us to go down to verse number 5. Read Psalm 62 and down to verse number 5. And notice the thought that we are giving now, the thought that we're establishing in our minds and in our hearts, is that the Lord is the source of this reviving work. Notice what Psalm 62 and verse number 5 says as David, the psalmist, speaks here. Notice what he says. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Who's the only one that David desires that his soul wait for? It's the Lord. Wait thou, he says, only upon God. Now notice this. For my expectation is from Him. Hey, if you're expecting anyone else to be able to send revival in your heart, you're looking at the wrong source. The source is God. He's the one in whom we expect revival to come from. Aren't you glad that God is a God who can make the dry bones live again? Aren't you glad that God is a God who can breathe new life into a soul that perhaps can even seem dead? Number one, we said that this reviving work that God wants to do in and through us is number one, connected to prayer. And number two, He is the source of which this reviving work will come from. But then notice number three, I want you to also look down at the verse again, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. I want us to notice the next three words. We stop there at the words, O Lord. But notice the next three words. He says, revive thy work. Here's the third truth that we see in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. The psalmist earnestly pleads for the reviving of God's work. The psalmist earnestly pleads for the reviving of God's work. Would you earnestly plead tonight to the Lord for revival? Would you earnestly ask Him to do again in your life, perhaps what you've been able to see Him do in the past? Just because we've entered into 2022, it doesn't mean that God's going to automatically, just because we've entered into a new year, do something special. We want to expect that from Him, don't we? We want to ask Him for that. And the psalmist asks it. He says, O Lord, revive thy work. The prophet trying to say here? He's trying to say that, God, I want you to keep alive your work. I want your favor to be restored. I want there to be a return to life. Life that used to be there, I want that life to return again. It's almost as if we see a progression here. And by the way, if you would consider the progression, and perhaps you may feel that this progression may be similar in your life, the progression of saying life was possessed, and then life departed, and now life needs to be restored again. When you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, life is possessed, isn't it? But from that moment when you trust Christ as your Savior, it could be that the spiritual life that you have is not always what it should be. It is true that sometimes spiritually that life can depart. It's almost as if perhaps we've dried up a little bit, or perhaps we just need that spiritual stirring. And it's Habakkuk's way of saying life was possessed, but then it departed, and now it needs to be restored again. So for you individually, just to ask the Lord, Lord, revive your work. Restore that work in my heart again. Revive that work in my heart. Renew. Give me that life again, individually and personally in your life. But then perhaps to ask God to do the same in your family this year. To do the same in your marriage. That God would perhaps restore spiritual life within your marriage, just to renew some life spiritually within your marriage. Perhaps for parents with the relationship with their children, and children with the relationship with their parents, to just say, Lord, give me that spiritual life that maybe I feel as if I once had. Maybe it's dried up a little bit. Lord, would you revive that? But then may it extend to our church as a whole. We see God revive us individually. We see God revive us in a personal way, and then it extends to our families. Oh, would you like to experience revival in your life and in your family this year? Would you like to experience that? That the Lord would do something perhaps again spiritually that maybe perhaps he's done in the past, or maybe something just afresh and anew for you spiritually in your life and in your family, but then in our church as a whole. Oh, that throughout the year of 2022, we can see God's hand working in a great and mighty way. That we can say all glory to the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done as we go through the year of 2022. And then that it reaches even to our nation perhaps. That we would pray for the reviving hand of God even upon our nation, as we know how far our nation has strayed from the Lord. All to just ask, as the prophet Habakkuk says, Lord, I'm coming to you praying. Lord, I know that you're the only source of revival. And I'm pleading to you, Lord, please revive thy work. But then would you notice another truth? Look back at the verse with me. And I know we've already mentioned these words in the verse already, but notice he says, O Lord, verse 2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, notice this, he says, revive. Now notice the next two words, thy work. Now I know we already said that the source of this reviving work is the Lord, but I want us to think along what the prophet says here along a different line. He says, revive thy work. Can I mention this to you tonight by way of a truth from verse number 2? That revival is the work of God. He is the one that produces it. It's the work of God. Did you notice how he refers to this? He says, revive thy work. Now you would consider the work of God, and we would understand that the revival of God's work is certainly different than man's work, isn't it? Again, we can't just stir up a revival. If we try to do it on our own, it's not going to accomplish that which God can accomplish. But the prophet says it's God's work. May it be God's work in our lives. May it be God's work in the souls of mankind this year. Would you like to see individuals come to trust Christ as their Savior this year? I would say we would all say that, right? We want to see God working in the souls of mankind this year. We want to see God working in the souls of children. We want to see God working in the hearts and the souls of teenagers. We want to see God working in the hearts and the lives and the souls of adults this year. Just that God's work would be done, that souls would be saved. Christians would be stirred and challenged to walk with the Lord, perhaps even in a greater way. It's going to be God's work that accomplishes those things. It's going to be God that stirs in the hearts and the souls and the minds of men and women and boys and girls. But may He use us. May He use our ministries this year to reach out and to share the gospel message so that God's work can be revived. But when you look at the next part of this, it says this in verse number 2. He says, O Lord, revive Thy work. Now notice this. In the midst of the years. Notice it's almost as if he repeats it in the next little part here. He says, in the midst of the years, make known. The next truth that I wanted to share with you from verse number 2 is that the prophet asked for God to revive his work in the midst of the years. You say, well, what does that mean to us? Well, the prayer that the prophet delivers to God is a prayer that is prompted by a concern. It's a prayer that is prompted by a concern. It's as if the prophet looks at God and he says, God, this is the time. This is the moment. I'm noticing the need that I have. It's almost as if God's people would look to God tonight and they would say, God, it's time. It's time. I'm noticing my concern. I'm noticing the need that I have for revival individually again and in our families and in our church, in our nation that we live in. God, it's time. Oh, there's a concern on my heart. Lord, there's a knowledge I have an understanding of the need of revival. And the prophet says, in the midst of the years. It's almost as if the prophet says, at this very moment, God, I'm praying to you right now. I'm asking God that you would revive your work while there's still opportunity. If you think about the year of 2021, we've all made it into the year of 2022. We're all sitting here tonight. We made it into the year of 2022, but we do not know that we will make it into the next year, do we? While there's opportunity, while God gives us opportunity to do a work for Him, while there's opportunity to still be spiritually revived, God, would you do that work in the midst of the years? Before perhaps the sickness comes, before perhaps the old age comes where we cannot do what we may be able to do now for the Lord, that we wouldn't have to look back in years to come and say, God, I wish I would have done this for you. God, I wish you would have spiritually stirred me and renewed me and revived me at that moment. Because now I'm at a place where I'm looking back at what I could have done and now perhaps not able to do that work. God, would you do it in the midst of the years? Would you do it before we have to face God's judgment? Would you do it before the day that God appears? Would you do it while there's a day of grace that is still here? God, would you work in the midst of the years? This is a prayer that the prophet prays where he is seeking a present blessing. It's as if he says to God, God, revive now. God, I don't want you to linger anymore. God, I don't want any postponement. I don't want you to put it off or delay. It's time for you to work now. Would you say that would be true of the day we live in today? It's time for God to work now, isn't it? It's time for God to spiritually renew us, perhaps spiritually revive us or to restore us to a place spiritually where we should be. Let's think about and concentrate on what we heard this morning, to look at the past, at what the Lord has done, and to ask Him for the year of 2022, God, would you do it again? And Lord, not to be in a disrespectful way to our God, but Lord, would you do it now? Would you do it now? There's a concern, there's an urgency, and Lord, I need you to do it now in the midst of the years. But then notice what the prophet writes at the end of the verse. Notice in verse number 2, he says this, in wrath, remember mercy. Now the prophet knew that the nation was going to be judged, but he asked God for mercy. Now, that word mercy is a unique word or a unique thought or definition in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. It has the idea of pardoning, but it also has the idea of restoring and reviving. Lord, I understand the prophet says there's judgment to come. But Lord, in the midst of judgment, would you remember mercy? Would you still revive us? Would you still restore us? Would you pardon us? Would you make it possible for us to draw nearer to you, Lord? So when we put all of this together throughout the message time this morning and the message this evening, we consider what we've heard in Psalm 77 this morning and then Psalm 143 tonight and the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2 tonight. Would you consider how are we to have revival? How are we to have this renewing and this restoring and this reviving from the Lord? How are we to come before the Lord and ask him this year, Lord, would you do it again? Well, we already said principle number one. Principle number one, it all starts with prayer. But then principle number two tonight, it's a determined personal effort. It's a determined personal effort. Would you determine individually tonight, every one of us that's sitting in here tonight, to make a determined personal effort that I want revival in my heart? God, I want you to do it again. I want you to afresh and anew, perhaps spiritually, to work in my life. Let's take this thing personally, right? Let's personally take responsibility on our own to have revival, to ask God to refresh us and renew us. So what do we have to do? Well, number one, we got to deal with sin, don't we? You know, perhaps tonight, before you even enter into the early stages of this new year, perhaps there's some sin you need to deal with. Perhaps there's some things that you're struggling with when it comes to shortcomings and sins in your life. And perhaps tonight, before you even leave, you need to say, God, if you're going to do it again in my life this year, I'm going to have to deal with my sin. I'm going to have to confess it. I'm going to have to get it forgiven. I'm going to have to forsake it this year. Maybe perhaps there's something that you need to acknowledge tonight when it comes to dealing with your sin so that God can do again a great and a mighty work in your life. And then number two, not only to deal with our sin as we're determined to have a personal effort for revival, not only to ask God to deal with our sin, but also to draw nigh to God. I love that verse in the book of James. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. I'll never forget an illustration that I heard one time at a youth conference. Brother Steve Robertson. Boy, that's a name of the past, isn't it? Brother Steve Robertson, he was preaching. And he brought a teenager up to the front of the auditorium. And as he was preaching at the youth conference, this was many, many years ago, he stood over on this side of the platform and he was representing God. And he had a teenager stand on this side of the platform. And he said, every time I take a step, he looked at the teenager and he said, I want you to take a step forward. And he said, every time I have you take a step forward, he says, I'm going to take a step forward. And he said, we're going to do this for the purpose of illustrating a wonderful Bible truth. And he had that teenager take a step forward, and he took a step forward. Then the teenager took another step, and he took another step. And before long, they were close. They were right up against one another. And he took us to that passage in James where it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You take a step to God. And isn't it great to know that he's drawing nigh to you as well? Oh, let's draw nigh to our Savior this year. Maybe perhaps it could be just something simple, which really isn't simple. It's an important thing. But just to make sure that this year we're having a daily and a disciplined walk with God. We're in his word every day that we may draw near to him. Maybe that's the way that he would spiritually revive you this year. Maybe to just say, do it again, Lord. Lord, I want to spend time with you every day. And Lord, I want you to stir my heart. I want you to challenge me for the things of God this year. I want to draw nigh to you, knowing that you've given the promise that you'll draw nigh to me. Oh, the sweet fellowship that God wants us to have with one another. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But then can I present you a third thought this evening as an idea that goes along with a determined personal effort. Number one, let's deal with our sin. Number two, let's draw nigh to God. And then as Christians tonight, would you devote yourself totally to God? Would you devote yourself totally to God this year? God, I want you to do it again. And I'm going to have to deal with my sin. I want to draw nigh to you so that our fellowship is sweet, so that we're walking in communion, sweet communion. But Lord, I need to devote myself totally to you. Perhaps to just ask God, Lord, would you give me an increased zeal for the things of God, for the work of God in my life. Perhaps an increased zeal on the part of God's people where it's afresh and anew. I thought as I was preparing this message, the Lord brought this passage of Scripture as I was studying to my heart. Think about Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, the seven churches are addressed. And in Revelation chapter 3, we get to the church of Sardis. And when we get to the church of Sardis, in the first three verses of Revelation chapter 3, he says this, "And unto the angel," or the pastor of the church in Sardis, write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest," notice this, "and art dead." There's a refreshing that needs to take place. Yes, you're alive, but you're dead. Notice what he says in verse number 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." It's the spiritual reviving, the spiritual refreshing, the spiritual renewing that needs to take place. An increased zeal on the part of God's people, afresh and anew in our lives before things fade and die away. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 2. "For I have not found thy works perfect before God." Notice verse 3. "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Do you know what God is saying to us there in verse number 3 in Revelation chapter 3? He's saying, remember what it was that made you strong. Remember what it was that gave you life. Now your spiritual life is fading away. It's almost as if you're dying. Remember what it was that made you strong and ask God to do it again in your life. To have an increased zeal for the things of the Lord. So let me ask you tonight, are you devoted totally to God as you enter into the year of 2022? Are you devoted to Him? Are you dedicated to Him? Are you disciplined the way that you should be as a Christian? Or perhaps, are you declining? Has worldliness or lukewarmness or satisfaction crept in? The world's pull and the lukewarmness of not being hot or cold, just right in the middle, and just the satisfaction of saying, well, I'm okay, I'm content with where I'm at. Has that worldliness or that lukewarmness or that satisfaction crept in? Has your walk with the Lord become more of a formality instead of really experiencing God's power in your life? Remember what Paul says in the book of Timothy. He says there are some that have the form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Do you truly, God, have God's power in your life? Sunday school teachers, as you approach 2022, do you have God's power in your life to teach your class? Workers, as we serve the Lord, do we have God's power upon us in 2022, so that we can see God do a great and mighty work? Can I say this last thought about revival? Would you be willing to anticipate revival? Would you look forward to it? It's not about just hearing messages on the first Sunday of January, the first Sunday of 2022, but let's truly anticipate it. Let's long for it. Let's labor for it. Let's live for revival. Do you believe that God can do it? Do you have faith in him? Do you have faith in his word? Do you have faith in his character? Do you have faith in his promises? That if he's done it in the past, he can truly and surely do it again. Would you let him do it again in your life this year? Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, as we move tonight into our moment of invitation. Lord, I believe.